Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, the great collapse is necessary for the great reset. We'll continue looking at tonight finances, and then we'll move into food, and then the First Amendment. It's Sunday night at 8 o'clock Central Time on November 7th. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brannon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. Tonight, part five in our series on the great collapse is necessary for the great reset. The great collapse is necessary for the great reset. Let's go back to what we've been looking at. We started out with the seven F's. Number one, forced vaccinations. Then we moved into and are finishing up this week on finances. Then food. We'll hopefully get to that. Then First Amendment, firearms, foreign invasion, and family health care. These are what I have come up with as being seven F's for collapse and control. As you know, the World Economic Forum has held their World Economic Forum Great Reset Conference earlier this year. And we've been telling you that the great collapse is necessary to get people to go along with the idea of the great reset, to get people to go where they otherwise would never go. So tonight we'll continue looking at seven F's, number two being finances. We'll finish up this week on finances. Well, we finished off last week talking about the desire by the globalist and enemies in America and outside America to destroy the American dollar, the petrodollar. Look at this PowerPoint presentation here again. Remember me showing you this last week? We see all of these. This is from September 2021. Look at that. We see a photo, and it's commented on by the Associated Press. That's like satellite photos analyzed by the Associated Press. Show the U.S. has removed its most advanced missile defense system and Patriot batteries from Saudi Arabia in recent weeks. Look at all those Patriot missiles there, and then look, boom, to the left, they're gone. What's going on there? Well, apparently the Biden administration has pulled those out of Saudi Arabia. And as I said to you last week, why would they want to do that? Why would they want to do that? Because, you know, we have an agreement between America and Saudi Arabia since Nixon closed the gold window that we will provide them with security and protection. And then they began to trade oil on the world market based on the U.S. dollar. Thus, it became the petrodollar, the world reserve currency. Nations had to hold U.S. dollars in order to be able to trade oil on the world market. They also would buy up our debt, Saudi Arabia. We need Saudi Arabia. We want that relationship with Saudi Arabia. It's at times been a love-hate relationship, no doubt about it. I'm not a big fan of Saudi Arabia. They are Sunnis, whereas Iran are the Shiite. And of course, there is overwhelming documentation that Saudi Arabia, some at the highest levels of that government, knew about 9/11. And of course, we know the hijackers were what? A lot of them were, majority of them, from Saudi Arabia. But we also know that we need to trade the oil on the world market with the American petrodollar. So the American petrodollar is the world reserve currency. So our dollar is backed by something other than just simple consumer confidence. And how's that going, by the way? Consumer confidence. Not a whole lot to be confident about when it comes to this U.S. economy when we realize what's going on with the Biden administration, right? So it appears as though the Biden administration is deliberately causing a collapse of the U.S. dollar by pulling the Patriot missiles and this military system out of Saudi Arabia. Well, who's rushing in to fill this void? None other than Russia. And as we concluded last week, we were talking about the fact that Saudi Arabia and Russia have signed a military pact together. And Russia seems to be now willing to provide Saudi Arabia with the security that maybe we once provided them with. Because we did quote one Saudi prince saying, we're not so sure where we stand with the United States of America. So it seems as though the Biden administration, they are our domestic enemies here in America. I believe they are loaded up with globalists and Marxists. They are going to destroy the American dollar to justify the fundamental transformation of America, a manufactured crisis. Well, look at this article right here. This comes from the Casey Report in 2012, the Casey Report. Logan, I'm pulling my earpiece out. I don't have any clips or anything, so I don't really want to wear it tonight. If you need me, just talk at me. Look at what this article says. To explain this situation properly, talking about the petrodollar, we have to start in 1973. That's when President Nixon asked King Faisal of Saudi Arabia to accept only U.S. dollars as payment for oil and to invest any excess profits in U.S. Treasury bonds, notes, and bills. In exchange, Nixon pledged to protect Saudi Arabian oil fields from the Soviet Union, isn't this interesting, and other interested nations such as Iran and Iraq. It was the start of something great for the U.S., even if the outcome was as artificial as the U.S. real estate bubble and yet constitutes the foundation for the valuation of the U.S. dollar. By 1975, all the members of OPEC agreed to sell their oil only in U.S. dollars. Every oil importing nation in the world started saving their surplus in U.S. dollars so as to be able to buy oil. With such high demand for dollars, the currency strengthened. On top of that, many oil exporting nations like Saudi Arabia spent their U.S. dollar surpluses on treasury securities, providing a new deep pool of lenders to support U.S. government spending. There's another downside, a potential threat now lurking in the shadows. The value of the U.S. dollar is determined in large part by the fact that oil is sold in U.S. dollars. If that trade shifts to a different currency, countries around the world won't need all their U.S. money. The resulting sell-off of U.S. dollars would weaken the currency dramatically. So here's an interesting thought experiment. Everybody says the U.S. goes to war to protect its oil supplies, but does it really go to war to ensure the continuation of the petrodollar system? Question mark. The Iraq war provides a good example. Until November 2000, no OPEC country had dared to violate the U.S. dollar pricing rule, and while the U.S. dollar remained the strongest currency in the world, there was also little reason to challenge the system. But in late 2000, France and a few other EU members, European Union members, convinced Saddam Hussein to defy the petrodollar process and sell Iraq's oil for food in euros, not dollars. In the time between then and March of 2003, American invasion of Iraq, several other nations hinted at their interest in non-U.S. dollar oil trading, including Russia, Iran, Indonesia, and even Venezuela. In April 2002, Iranian OPEC representative Javad Yerjani was invited to Spain by the European Union to deliver a detailed analysis of how OPEC might at some point sell its oil to the European Union for euros, not dollars. This movement, founded in Iraq, was starting to threaten the dominance of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency and petrocurrency. In March 2003, the U.S. invaded Iraq, ending the oil for food program and its euro payment program. Well, there you go, my friends. So you want to say, why did we go to war in Iraq? Well, we were told what? Well, there's weapons of mass destruction there in them hills. Well, you can debate that. I've talked to some that say there were. I've talked to some that say there weren't. I've talked to some that say, depends on how you define weapons of mass destruction. I talked to one guy who had been in the Pentagon and been over there, boots on the ground before the war started. He told me personally, the Pentagon in Washington doesn't like to define weapons of mass destruction as bioweapons. He said, I stood looking at the bioweapons. I could tell you exactly where they were. I stood on them and knew where they were. But Washington didn't want to call bioweapons part of weapons of mass destruction. So it depends on how you define it. Others say they had them. The reality is, it appears the, well, later on we found out that the Bush administration had to admit that they couldn't find any. Now, some say they were taken out and moved into Syria. But the reality is this. Was the reason America invaded Iraq a big lie? Were the American people lied to as to why we were going into Iraq and why we were willing to sacrifice and did the lives of our Americans, soldiers, our American soldiers? Was the real reason to preserve the dominance of the U.S. dollar? And is this the only time we have seen nations or national leaders threatened that dared to challenge the U.S. reserve currency, the world reserve currency of the U.S. dollar? The answer to that would be no. Look at this article, dated November 11th, 2011, by my friend Alex Newman. Gaddafi's gold money plan would have devastated dollar. Oil, of course, has been mentioned frequently. Libya is Africa's largest oil producer. But one possible reason in particular for Gaddafi's fall from grace has gained significant traction among analysts and segments of the non-Western media: central banking and the global monetary system. According to more than a few observers, Gaddafi's plan to quit selling Libyan oil in U.S. dollars, demanding payment instead in gold-backed dinars, a single African currency made from gold, was the real cause. The regime, sitting on massive amounts of gold, estimated at close to 150 tons, was also pursuing other African and Middle Eastern governments to follow suit. And it literally had the potential to bring down the dollar and the world monetary system by extension, according to analysts. Then you have French President Nicolas Sarkozy. Reportedly, went so far as to call Libya a, quote, threat, end quote, to the financial security of the world. The insiders were apparently panicking over Gaddafi's plan. And then Reuters, dated February 2nd, 2009. Gaddafi elected to chair African Union. What was the date on that? February 2nd, 2009. The African Union on Monday elected Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi to head the continental organization at a summit in Ethiopia. And then look what happened, 2011. From 2009, what is he? Elected chair of the African Union. By 2011, Muammar Gaddafi dead. How rebels killed the dictator. Well, my friends, the question is, why was he killed? Why was he killed? Well, we've looked at Saddam Hussein's demise. We've looked at that of Gaddafi's. And maybe the reality is the U.S. didn't like their, and other leaders of the world, didn't want the end of the petrodollar, being the U.S. dollar. But now it seems as though even people inside our own government, who at one time were willing to go to war to protect it, are themselves trying to destroy it. It wasn't on the timetable yet to destroy the U.S. dollar. But now it seems it is the time. Look at this, The Guardian, dated February 15th, 2003. Iraq nets handsome profit by dumping dollars for euro. A bizarre political statement by Saddam Hussein has earned Iraq a windfall of hundreds of millions of euros. In October 2000, Iraq insisted on dumping the U.S. dollar, the currency of the enemy, for the more multilateral euro. Foreign exchange. Saddam turns his back on greenbacks. Again, dated November 13th, 2000. Europe's dream of promoting the euro as a competitor to the U.S. dollar may get a boost from, wait for it, Saddam Hussein. Iraq says that from now on, it wants payment for its oil in euros, despite the fact that the battered European currency unit, which used to be worth quite a bit more than a dollar, has dropped to around 82 cents. Iraq says it will no longer accept dollars for oil because it does not want to deal, quote, in the currency of the enemy, end quote. Notice Europe's dream of promoting the euro as a competitor of the U.S. dollar. Let me tell you something, folks. What you need to understand in part is that there is a battle, and has been a battle going on, for who is going to control the world. Is it going to be America or is it going to be Europe? And there are, I believe, even some globalist families fighting to decide who's going to be in charge of the world order, America or Europe. Well, Maybe we don't want to get into the weeds tonight of some of these globalist families fighting to see who's going to be in charge of the world order, whether America or Europe. But I can tell you this, it is going to be a Eurocentric world government. It will be a Eurocentric world government. The Bible tells us it'll be based in Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad. But note again the article from Time Magazine. Time Magazine, Europe's dream of promoting the euro as a competitor to the U.S. dollar. And then History.com. On March 19, 2003, the United States, along with coalition forces, primarily from the United Kingdom, initiates war on Iraq. Well, that moves, by the way, let me just simply say this to you real quick before I move on. If we see the demise of the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency, the petrodollar, what on earth do you think is going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. What is going to happen is that all those dollars that have been sitting outside the U.S., that money supply is going to come rushing back to the United States. And if you think we have inflation now, you just wait till all those world reserve currency world reserve players quit using the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency, the petrodollar. What is this currency going to be backed by? Who's going to have any faith in it? It's going to create a humongous mess. And again, you tell me, based on what I've been reporting to you tonight, that there isn't clear indication that the Biden administration is trying to destroy the U.S. dollar. Look, everything they're doing is about destruction. Destruction at the border, destruction of the dollar, destruction of national security, destruction of American businesses, destruction of freedom of religion and free speech, destruction of our military, destruction of our schools, destruction of parental authority. They want to sic the FBI on moms who dare to question critical race theory. We'll get into that. But tell me this, if you see them doing all of this destruction, what makes you think that I haven't provided enough proof tonight that they're trying to destroy the U.S. dollar? What tells you tonight they are not trying to destroy American business, the free market system? Look, they're even talking about giving $450,000 to families that were separated at the border, even though this was going on during the Obama administration as well. And again, if they didn't want their families separated, they shouldn't have come over the border illegally. They should have done it like the other immigrants that have come to America and do it legally. Then you wouldn't even have to worry about your family being separated, would you? But all of this is to grow the size of government, paint America as a horrible nation, that we're somehow a horrible racist nation. And now that narrative, they're going to try to give it validity by handing out dollars to these immigrant families that were separated at the border, so-called separated at the border. So I'm telling you right now, I would be very concerned if I were you about what's happening with the American dollar and what I've just laid out. And if you would like to find a way to have a hedge against inflation, wealth destruction. Inflation is wealth destruction. Inflation is a tax. It is a hidden tax on your wealth. And if you would like a free packet of information about a hard asset, because again, I believe that's what's going to preserve people's wealth or savings is hard assets. I mean, I've been talking to you guys about inflation for years, and now I'm starting to talk to you about the H word, hyperinflation. We looked at last week that we are at 11% interest inflation, 11%, not 4.5. Those numbers by the government through the Consumer Price Index, that's a complete lie. We're looking at 11%. That's going to seem like a walk through the park compared to where we're going if this continues. Now, I don't give financial advice, as I've told you a million times, but I do give you financial opinion. And if you're looking for some information to get educated on precious metals, one of our sponsors for nearing 15 years has been Swiss America. And many of you met Wes Peters at our Ozarks conference over the years, and many of you have done business. Thousands of our people, I'm told, have done business with them. And we have a lot of happy people. I've done business with them. Family and friends have done business with them. So the number to call if you want that free packet of information by Swiss America, maybe Logan, you want to put it on the screen. This is the actual cell phone number of Wes Peters. You can text him or you can call him. If you don't want to call him, just text him and say, hey, Wes, this is my name. This is my address. I'd like the free packet of information on precious metals so I can do my homework. Then after you've done your homework, written down your questions, you can call him and ask him to answer your questions and look at what's best for you in regards to precious metals, gold, silver, whether we're talking bullion, which is freshly minted, or you know, new gold and silver coins, or numismatic, 1933 or before, which provides some privacy as well as can provide the ability to make money on the spot price as well as the antique price. But all of that is explained in the packet of information that you can get by calling or texting Wes Peters at 602-558-8585. Again, that's 602-558-8585. And last week, one of the callers asked me, you know, what do you do with it? And I explained, and that description of what you do with gold and silver during or after a financial crisis, it's up on my website right now, in fact, at WVWTV.com. So I won't go through that again. You can go to WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVWTV.com and see that little clip of where I answered a caller's question last Sunday night on what do you do with your precious metals during or after a financial crisis? And I explain it. But the number for that free packet of information, you can call him or you can text him, is 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. And again, you can text him your name and address as well, and he'll send it to you. No obligation, free packet of information. All right, as we go through the great collapse is necessary for the great reset, the third of our seven Fs, the third is, look at food. Food. If you want to control people, food is a great way to do it. If you want to get people to go along with socialism and not resist your revolution, your Marxist revolution, one way to do it is through food. Food is a great way to control people. Here is an article, June 2nd, 2021. U.S. and World. A potential beef shortage? JBS said systems are coming back online after cyber attack. The second largest meat processing company in the U.S. said Tuesday that it was able to ship product from most of its facilities and more operations would resume Wednesday. Look at that. Why? A cyber attack. Well, again, we've been doing a lot of programming over the years on cyber attacks, right? The critical infrastructure. We know that Archbishop Vigano, in his 90-minute warning video in September of 2021, is warning and saying that the same people that planned the COVID pandemic and green passports, COVID passports, are the same Marxists and globalists pushing the Great Reset. He talks about all this and said they've already planned a global, use the word global, they've already planned a global cyber attack. He said what? To go after individuals, the economy, and individuals in their life and work. Well, we already know that we have Russia attacking oil lines. We know that we have enemies. I think Russia, China, perhaps North Korea, certainly those, maybe even Iran, but certainly North Korea, Russia, and China, cyber attacking our critical infrastructure. I deal with this extensively in my 8.5-hour docu-movie, Siege. You can watch a whole hour for free at siegethemovie.com. Siegethemovie.com. I deal with that a lot in the movie Siege that came out in December of 2019. All the cyber attacks on our critical infrastructure. Well, did you ever think about them attacking our food supply, like our meat processing plants? We read earlier in the year where a company out of the South here, I think they're out of Georgia, it's reported to be the first or second largest distributor of frozen food, the first or second largest distributor of frozen food in America. It made national news that they were attacked. They had a cyber attack. Now that's a problem. Because how do you know what trucks back up at what dock door, get loaded with what supplies, what frozen food, to go to what warehouses and distribution centers? You have to have all that computerized, highly computerized. And if your computer systems go down, how do you deliver those things? Which are a big part of our grocery store today, right? Frozen foods. So from meat packing plants to frozen foods, to other things related in the agricultural area, including the ability to have fuel and fertilizer and seeds. There's so many things, and harvesting, getting things to market and shipping it. All of this impacts our food supply. And then, of course, when you attack our production of oil, or you create a higher dollar, going back to finances, you create a higher price for gas, I should say, by destroying the dollar, well, then that means you have to bring the price of food up because it costs more dollars to buy more fuel, to run the tractor, to run the combine, to get it to market, to truck it to the store. All of this takes more dollars to pay for the fuel and the labor and the production, which more cost means you have to raise the price of what? Food. So we've got a real problem with the price of food going up, not to mention the attack on the critical infrastructure tied to our food supply chain. Here's another one. This is the same article. Finish reading it. After a cyber attack sparked fears of a meat shortage in America, the world's largest meat processor said most of its U.S. operations would resume Wednesday. Quote, "Our systems are coming back online and we're not sparing any resources to fight this threat," end quote, said GBS USA Chief Executive Andrew Nogueira in a statement Tuesday. Brazil-based JBS told U.S. officials earlier this week that it had been attacked by, wait for it, Russian ransomware hackers, the Wall Street Journal reported. Here's an article. Sorry, I'm thirsty tonight. Woo! Food prices could spike by 14% before October, a supermarket chain owner says. It's already forcing restaurants to push up their prices. This is dated July 20th, 2021. That's funny. Food prices could spike by 14%, but the government wants to tell you that the inflation rate is 4.5%. Now, who are you going to believe? The lying government or the cash register at the grocery store that tells you what your total bill is to buy your groceries? Here's another headline. May 17th, 2020, Tyson's Food. The U.S. food supply chain is at breaking point. This was over a year ago, folks. Over a year ago, Tyson Foods was saying the U.S. food supply chain is at a breaking point. Now, what do you think it's at now with all of the shortages and all the cost of fuel going up and the shortage in labor and the shortage of truckers and all of the government regulation? Which, again, is part of the problem they're not telling you with what's going on in California, is some of the truckers who would love to truck and get this stuff to market can't because they don't have the updated trucks with the updated equipment that the government's requiring. A lot of government restrictions to help destroy America. The article went on to say, the food supply chain is breaking, said John Tyson, chairman of Tyson Foods, Inc., the biggest meat company in the United States, quote, "Millions of pounds of meat will disappear. Farmers across the nation simply will not have anywhere to sell their livestock to be processed when they could have fed the nation. Millions of animals, chickens, pigs, and cattle will be depopulated," end quote. Now, of course, this was at the height of the coronavirus because we have had schools that weren't open. We had restaurants that weren't open. And so the consumption in the normal places, I guess, weren't there. But we also probably had a shortage of truckers and truckers that were getting sick, right? But this shows you the fragile nature of our just-in-time inventory and our food supply inventory with something that was not a real serious, real pandemic. It was a plandemic. Not to say the coronavirus is not real, not to say people didn't die from it, but this thing was exploited. Now, what do you think will happen if they release a real serious bioweapon in America? This was a bioweapon, but I'm talking a really potent bioweapon. By the way, I'm reading reports now that Bill Gates is warning about a smallpox breakout, a breakout of smallpox. I think that's what it was about. Let me tell you something. When Bill Gates starts telling you to look out and be aware of something, that makes me uncomfortable. Because isn't he the one that took part in things like the 201 event in October of 2001? October of 2019. October of 2019, He took part in Event 201, the planning for a pandemic, and then voila. Isn't he the one running around talking about vaccines? When this guy starts running around talking about bioweapons being released on America, I'd be a little concerned. What does he know? Because he seems to be kind of on the edge of all this stuff, does he not? But if our food supply is put at this kind of risk with something like the COVID, what would really happen under a real bio attack, my friends? And again, this is why I keep warning you. This is why I warn you that if I were you, I would have enough emergency food supply on hand for 6 months to a year. 6 months to a year. And I told you, in 2013, I bought enough freeze-dried food from Mountain House that I've been eating since high school to serve my family for 6 months, and then I added to it till I had eventually a year. I budgeted for it, you save for it, and add to it as you can, till eventually I got a year supply of food. I've been eating my own Mountain House since high school on camping trips, canoe trips to the boundary waters up to Canada. I when I mentioned it on the radio and TV that that's what I'd done, my phone lines lit up, email, text, where'd you get it, how we get it, can we buy it? So I called up Mountain House, said I'd like to be a distributor. That was in 2015. We've been a distributor of theirs since 2015, and we move a lot. Let's just put it this way. When I talk to the folks in the office that handle it, they know exactly who's calling because we ship that much. We are a big probably the biggest distributor in the Mid-South. But we ship it all over the world. And we said, we said to our audience, you know what? We're going to sell it, mark it up, buy it at wholesale, buy the pallet. We buy 3 or 4 pallets at a time. About the last few weeks, it's every 2 or 3 weeks, another 3 or 4 pallets coming through. We've got, I think, 3 people. That's all they do is pack up freeze-dried food. And then at times we got 5 or 6 of them doing it. We pull them off filling orders of Marxianity and DVDs and other stuff and put them on that. Sometimes we pull them out of the television production room and send them to the mail packing room. And that's because people are waking up. They're waking up. I can tell you what the American people are thinking based on the volume of phone calls going into the gold and silver company that we work with, Swiss America, and the number of orders coming in to us on freeze-dried food. I can tell you right now what is going on in the conservative market, the conservative community. I can tell you what they're thinking. I can tell you what they're preparing for because I know the volume of phone calls going into West Peters and Swiss America because I get a regular update since they've been a sponsor for 15 years. I get regular updates on how they're handling the customer support because those are our people that we're recommending over there, and I want to make sure they're getting top drawer treatment, and they do. And I hear that, hey, our phone lines are lit up with Worldview Weekend people. And then I can see the orders of the freeze-dried food coming in and my wife talking to me about it because she oversees our customer support and our order fulfillment department. And I can tell you that the American people, the American conservative, was super much asleep a few years ago when we were saying, I think I would have some precious metals and diversify. I think I would have some freeze-dried food. I think I'd be concerned about bioweapons. I mean, you know we did whole radio and TV shows on bioweapons. Lots of them. Years ago. And now all of a sudden, wham, they're awake. People are awake. Well, this is exactly what I'm telling you. Because you get to a point where even the biggest producer of meat, the biggest meat company in the United States is saying, uh-oh, I'm sorry, the U.S. food supply is at a breaking point, the chain. So again, if you want to order Mountain House freeze-dried food from us, you can order from us, you can order it somewhere else if you want. That's up to you. But when you do order it from us, we buy it at wholesale, we mark it up to the reasonable retail price, and we use the profit margin in there to fund our network. We use the profit margin in there to keep this network going, to help grow. I mean, I can't tell you the volume of money we've spent this year on new equipment, new cameras, switchers. Not to mention, last time I checked, our streaming bill to give away free programming between $8,000 and $10,000 a month. That's our cost of giving away free programming, $8,000 to $10,000 a month, by all the people going to WVW-TV and watching our shows. We got to pay for that bandwidth. It's free for everybody to watch, but it's not free to us. We got to pay for the bill. I mean, within the 2 or 3 days that we had on General Flynn a year ago, November, our streaming bill was $17,000 in 3 days. $17,000 in 3 days. So, yeah, you bet. We're not going to apologize for being business people and smart and offering a service to people and having a reasonable profit margin to pay the bills to keep offering up free programming at WVW Broadcast Network. So if you want to order the freeze-dried food, there is about a 3 or 4 week delay right now. But if you want to order it, we get in another 3 or 4 pallets every couple weeks. Every day, lots go out. I saw a bunch of it stacked up, packed, ready to go to UPS tomorrow. And if you want to order it, you can order it at wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store. Again, wvwtv.com/store if you want to order some. If you prefer to order over the phone, we prefer you order online because the labels are printed automatically. It's just really smooth. But if you prefer to order online during normal business hours, you can call our office at 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652. Look at this. Reset the table. Meeting the moment to transform the U.S. food system. And who sponsored that report? The Rockefeller Foundation, July 28th, 2020. Now, I've mentioned this to you before, but what did the Rockefellers put out in 2010? They put out a report called Lockstep. Lockstep. And we've showed you that report. And what were the Rockefellers saying in 2010? Oh, there's going to be a virus that comes out of Asia. And businesses will be shut down. And people will be wearing masks everywhere they go. And when you read their scenario, again, this report by the Rockefellers came out lockstep in 2010. They put a 2012 scenario in there. They put a scenario 2 years into the future and said, in 2012, and then they played this scenario. It sounded just like 2020. Just like 2020 and the coronavirus. The Rockefellers, they warned us about the plandemic, right? And they talked about all the strict controls and authoritarianism that would go into place and how people would finally get comfortable with it and be okay with it. And a lot of it would stay long after the pandemic went away. Well, that was the Rockefellers. Now they're telling you they're going to reset the table because we got apparently a food crisis. Yeah, I call it a manufactured food crisis. Are you kidding me? Do we used to feed the world? America used to feed the world, and now we've so destroyed the U.S. dollar. We've destroyed so many of our American farmers with regulation and red tape. We've allowed China to come in here and buy up our meat packing plants. We've allowed our very enemy, the very people that wrote the 1999 book by two Chinese colonels, Unrestricted Warfare, that want to talk about taking America over. China with a general that talked about cleaning up America. That means getting rid of Americans so they can have our soil. We are so stupid that we actually give control of the national security of our meat packing plants to Chinese companies. And many of our farmers, they have to care for that animal for a year from the time it hits the ground, is born, till it goes to market. They got a lot of cost for that year. And they're not making money. Some of them are definitely losing money, I'm told. They called into my show. I did a show a few months ago. I had a couple of them calling in. Some of these ranchers, some of these cattle ranchers calling in. But when they take that animal to market, they have it, what, 24, 48 hours, and they're selling it at the prices they are? They're making money. Our farmers are in bad shape, many of them. Government regulation, destruction of the dollar, red tape. We used to feed the world. And now the Rockefellers are telling you, hey, we need to nationalize the food system. Let me tell you something. Go read the Communist Manifesto. Go read the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto and tell me we are not well on our way to accomplishing all of them. A central bank, the end of private property, nationalizing agriculture. I mean, just go down the list. So when the Rockefellers start telling you there's a crisis coming, You better pay attention, not because they're so smart and people trying to warn America, because usually the Rockefellers are right in the middle of it. This is the same family that helped give us the United Nations and the Council on Foreign Relations. What did their report say? It said a lot, but it's talked about an integrated nutrition security system that treats access to healthy food as a right. Really? So now steak and lobster is going to be a right? Or what? Maybe it's like none of you get steak and lobster. Everybody's going to get beans. I mean, maybe this is where we're going. It's a right to have food. And if you can't have it, no one else can have it. So I guess now it's not to mention there's a war on meat. Trevor Loudon has sat at this news desk and said a few years ago, they will go after meat. Meat will become as politically incorrect as cigarettes. I'm not a fan of cigarettes, but if people want to light up some paper and tobacco and stick it in their face, I guess that's their business. But the point is, we don't need the government running around telling us what we can and cannot do in certain areas. There's a limited function of government. And they made raising tobacco to be completely politically incorrect and so horrible, put the tobacco farmers out of business. Well, I wasn't a tobacco farmer, so I didn't say much. And then they came for the cattle ranchers, and I wasn't a cattle rancher, so I didn't say anything. Then they came after the hogs, but I wasn't a hog farmer, so I didn't say anything. You know the old quote? You've heard that quote, right? I just took it and I just turned it around, related it to the situation at hand. That actually comes out of pre-Nazi Germany or Nazi Germany. Where a guy warned, well, they came after the communists. I wasn't a communist. Then they came after, they came after me. There was no one to speak up for me. That was the point of the quote. Well, many Americans never spoke up for the tobacco farmer. Like, I'm not a tobacco farmer. What do I care? Plus, I hate the smell of smoke. Cigarettes aren't good for you anyway. But that's not the point. It's about a free market, the right to choose. And again, you say, well, you apply that when it comes to the issue of abortion? Now, that's you cannot compare raising tobacco to murdering babies. Only stupid people would think that. And there are plenty of stupid people out there that think that way. And I'm not a libertarian. I'm not a libertarian who just thinks, you know, live and let live. I do believe there's a function of government. Romans 13, reward the righteous, punish the wicked, make a stable and just society. And what is law to be? Law is to be based on the laws of nature, and nature is God, a natural law. And the natural law has been placed on our hearts and our minds through the moral law, the reflection of God's character and nature, known as the moral law. It's been placed on our conscience. That's why we know universally that lying is wrong, stealing is wrong, murder is wrong, the universal law. But there is also the right to say, well, that doesn't really fall into the confines of the government regulating. Maybe you don't like tobacco. Maybe you don't like cigarettes. Maybe you don't like pipes and cigars. Well, then don't go around them. Don't. I'm not a big fan of that stuff either. I don't want to do that. I don't like the smell of it, and I don't like doing it. But if you want to smoke a cigar or smoke a pipe and smoke tobacco and raise it, hey, it's a free country. What did William Blackstone say when asked about the Constitutional Republic? The leading scholar for the Founding Fathers. He said, a constitutional republic is based on the law of the divine. What the divine has ruled on, we don't rule against. In the instance of murder, murder will always be wrong because the divine has ruled, thou shalt not murder, i.e. abortion, murder. But when it comes to exporting wool to France, the divine is silent, he said. Well, guess what? The divine is silent on raising tobacco and selling it too. The point I'm trying to make is there is a limited purpose for government, and the government should not be running around putting tobacco farmers out of business. They shouldn't be putting certainly cattle ranchers out of business, hog farmers out of business, chicken farmers, I don't know. What, Logan? Poultry. Let's go to that. Poultry farms. I'll go with that one. How's that, Logan? They shouldn't be putting poultry farms out of business. I feel like old McDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O tonight. Talking about all this farming. But when they start regulating you into what is politically incorrect to raise, let me tell you, they are creating a food crisis on purpose. Why? For what we've been talking about. Control. Collapse. Well, they want them to say that now certain foods are going to be a right. Access to healthy food is a right. A more equitable system focused on fair returns and benefits to all stakeholders. Building more equitable prosperity throughout the supply chain. Now, what does that mean? You got to tell me that the farmer that spends a fortune for a John Deere tractor and has to scrape and save and drive an old pickup truck for years because he's trying to save and buy a John Deere tractor, or he would love to buy a new pickup truck, but he's trying to pay off the current John Deere tractor he's got. He's maybe bought some extra land and he's trying to get that paid off. And his family has scraped and saved the good times and hard times through years of plenty and years of lean. They have sacrificed to keep the family farm or ranch going. And you're telling me that we've got to set up our food system so that it is benefits all stakeholders. Be very careful when they start talking about stakeholder capitalism. There's stock. There's someone that would have a stock. They put up money for a stock, like a stockholder, but now everybody's a stakeholder. I have a stake in that. So now, who's a stakeholder? Well, now the guy that's unloading the truck. You're telling me the guy who unloads the truck in the food supply system deserves some kind of redistribution of the wealth as though he somehow is even in the same ballpark with the rancher and the farmer that have saved and scraped and endured? Baloney. Baloney. This is again attacking the business owner. It is attacking the entrepreneur. It is attacking small business, family business, and even big business, as many of our farms and ranches today are indeed owned by very large corporations. Many of them families who made it good in farming, took their money, saved it, and bought someone's farm that was going under on the courthouse steps. And they kept going and growing, and their family farm became so big, it became a corporation. And it's a big corporation in their area of the nation. And they're a big farmer. They're a big rancher. But guess what? They got there. And now you want to penalize them and say that somehow, after generations of that working that hard and saving and scraping in good times and bad times, somehow they've got to redistribute the wealth down the food chain to everybody, including those who are unloading the trucks of the food. No, everyone doesn't get treated the same. Not everybody works as hard. Not everybody's taking the same amount of risk. That's why I know it's called capitalism as a pejorative, but where is the risk of capital by them? This is nothing more than bringing social justice to our food supply system, and all it will do is drive the price of food straight up. And that's the goal. Wasn't it Barack Hussein Obama who said he wanted to see a high price in our fuel, in the fuel costs? He wanted to see high energy prices? Why? This is hatred for America. This is rooting for our demise. So that's food. Now let's go to number 4 in our 7, list of 7. 7 F's to control and collapse as we look at the great collapse as necessary for the great reset. The way they're deliberately manufacturing a collapse. Well, one way they're manufacturing a collapse is by attacking the First Amendment. When you have a Marxist revolution in your country, one of the first things you have to go after is the First Amendment. As many of you know, here is tonight, November 7th. I just returned on Friday afternoon, around 4:30 Central Time, from our very fast trip, leaving out of the Mid-South, going down to Mar-a-Lago in West Palm Beach, to produce and direct the interview between President Donald Trump and Mike Lindell. And I talked about it on TV the other night. I'll talk about it more on radio tomorrow. And I showed some pictures on TV on Friday night of us all meeting President Trump. And of course, we'll announce tomorrow with Mike Lindell and his broadcast when that interview will be released. It was a good 40-minute interview. And then the time we visited with him before and then several minutes after the interview, he was very gracious with his time. And so we had to leave on Tuesday evening around 5 o'clock Central Time, got into Mar-a-Lago or to West Palm Beach around 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, spent Wednesday kind of recuperating from the drive. I didn't go to bed till 5 a.m. that morning because I couldn't sleep in the motor coach, but finally wore myself out enough to sleep. So we slept in a little bit and then got up and got ready for the day and went about hosting my TV show that night from the motor coach. But we wanted to be there a day early so we didn't have any mechanical problems and make sure we could get there with the film crew, Logan and my wife and my daughter and my film buddy, Michael Nini, who's worked for me since he was 19. He's now 36. So we got in a day early to be safe and to be sure we got there ready to go. That was on Wednesday morning we got there. Thursday morning we went over to Mar-a-Lago at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time, went into the gates, got our motor coach scanned in and screened by security, and started setting up. And it was a 11 and a half hour day. 11 and a half hours. We pulled out at 1 a.m. that next morning, Friday morning. And so it's been a fast week. But in that interview that you'll see between President Trump and Mike Lindell, President Trump mentioned the issue of the First Amendment. And when you have a revolution in a nation, or you attempt a revolution in a nation, one of the first things you go after is the First Amendment, freedom of speech, which also includes freedom of religion. Now, what is the foundation of our constitutional republic in America? It is the religion of Christianity. Now, I'm not saying we're a quote, Christian nation and that we're to be a theocracy. We're not. I do believe in the separation of church and state as defined by the Constitution, not by the American Civil Liberties Union. A high wall of separation, as Thomas Jefferson said, should be between church and state, meaning that the government should stay off the back of the church. And today, that phrase has been redefined by the ACLU to mean you're not to have any public expression of your faith. Keep it between the four walls of your church. Well, baloney, because the public expression of Christianity, the founders and our courts have affirmed over and over, the Judeo-Christian worldview is the foundation of our constitutional republic. So the reason they want to limit our First Amendment is many, but one of them is the destruction of the freedom of religion, and particularly the Judeo-Christian religion, the foundation of our constitutional republic. For as one founder said, when the pillars of Christianity are torn down, it will bring down America. And they know it. So they're attacking our First Amendment. Another reason they attack our First Amendment is because they do not want their revolution to be hindered by the truth. If you are deliberately creating a collapse for the Great Reset, if you want a collapse of America, the last thing you want is a watchman on the wall, such as myself or Mike Lindell or Donald Trump, of whom so many things he told you were going to happen. They did. They tried. And they're now doing. He told us many of these things would happen. I've been writing books since the 90s, 93, my first book, 95. I predicted in that book we'd have social credit scores. I explained in detail how it happened, down to the very hiring of your job. I predicted America would go toward corporate fascism, big government and big business. I predicted many things. Why? Not because I'm so smart, but because I know trends, because I read the writings of the globalists, the Marxists, the socialists, the communitarians. I read their works. I read their writings. Some of their writings are 100 years old. And if you're going to have a successful revolution, you can't have watchmen. You can't have people that are warning, that are lifting up a shout, that are exposing them. You must shut them down. You must shut down all opposition. The First Amendment. What is it? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, what is going in now? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. We're not going to have a state-sanctioned denomination. That's what the founders said. We are not going to have denominations, Presbyterians, Catholics, Wesleyan, Baptist. We're not going to have them vying for what is the state religion. There shall be no establishment of a state religion. That's what that meant. Go read the Federalist Papers. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So we're not going to establish a state religion, but neither are we going to prohibit the free exercise thereof. Or abridge the freedom of speech. Or the press. Or the right of the people to get together and assemble and to petition the government. That means petition. Means to protest or petition or plead or disagree. To petition the government for redress. Mean to fix, to address, to cure the problem. But what is happening today? We see all of these things being destroyed. I've showed you this in closing for this week. Herbert Marcuse of the Frankfurt School many times. Many of you know him. He coined the phrase, make love, not war. What did he say in his 1965 paper? Repressive tolerance. They would include, meaning the actions of the globalist, of the Marxist, I should say. He said they would include the withdrawal of toleration of speech and assembly from groups. What did we just find out? We have the right of freedom of speech. Wait a minute. We have the right to assemble. But he says we're going to be more intolerant than the right. They perceive the right to be intolerant. Conservatives to be intolerant. He said we're going to be more intolerant than they are. This is what is he called repressive tolerance. We're going to be more intolerant than they are, and we're going to deprive them of freedom of speech. And look at the quote. An assembly from groups and movements which promote aggressive policies, armament, chauvinism, discrimination on the grounds of race and religion, or which oppose the extension of public services, Social Security, Medicare. Well, that's interesting. Aggressive policies, huh? You mean like a border security, border wall? Armament? You mean like a strong military and the Second Amendment? Chauvinism? What do you mean? The traditional family? Understanding and believing in the biblical roles of men and women? Men, masculine, women, feminine? You know, we protect our ladies? We don't send our ladies to war on the front line to fight for us. No, we don't want our daughters drafted because we believe we protect the women of our society. They're a gift from God. And yes, we tip our hat and we open the doors. We treat them with respect. Call it chauvinism. It's called the biblical roles of men and how they treat women. But it's called chauvinism now. Discrimination on the grounds of race. Really? What? What? That we actually point out the dangers of Islam, but that's now the grounds of race and religion? Discrimination on the grounds of race and religion? No, it's simply showing you what Islam is. That we don't want our borders open? That's not about racism, but look at how they couch this. But then they go on to say, if you're not for public services, an extension of it, you know, redistribution of wealth, if you're not for socialism, then we're going to deprive you of what? Freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, the end of your First Amendment. He went on to talk about liberating tolerance that would mean intolerance against movements from the right and the toleration of movements from the left. As to the scope of this tolerance and intolerance, it would extend to the stage of action as well as of discussion and propaganda of deed as well as of word. Propaganda. Huh. Well, you know what? You then, therefore, do not want a radio show or a TV show hosted by me, because guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to expose your lies. I'm going to expose your propaganda. I'm going to expose your brainwashing. I'm going to expose your Marxianity. I'm going to expose your globalism. And they cannot have a successful revolution unless they can lie to the people. What did Goebbels say for Nazi Germany? He worked for Hitler. Tell a lie often enough and people will believe it. They want you to believe the lies about America, about our founding fathers, about our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers and the greatest generation, the World War II generation. They want you to believe the lies of the communist. And they cannot have someone telling you that's a lie, that's not truth. Here's the truth. So they must deprive you of your freedom of speech and your freedom to come together and find out that you're not alone, that there are other people who believe the same way you do. No, you're not alone. No, the majority of the country doesn't want to go to Marxism. But if they can keep you ignorant, without knowledge, without hope, without the truth, without assembling with other like-minded people by which to gain encouragement from, then you will give up. So they must go after the First Amendment. We'll stop here and pick it up here next week as we look at the seven F's for collapse and control. The great collapse is necessary for the great reset. I'm sharing with you what I believe are seven F's that they're using to collapse our country. He looked at forced vaccinations, the green pass, the COVID passport, forced vaccinations. Then we looked at finances and food. And now we're on the First Amendment. Now, if you, again, appreciate this broadcast, it's vital we hear from you. If you'd like to support what we do and all the free shows, you'll find at WVWTV.com. We're coming toward the end of the year now, and we raise about 40% of our budget at our Worldview Weekend Foundation in the last several weeks of the year. Would you make a tax-deductible contribution even now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll find our mailing address there. If you prefer to give during normal business hours, you'll find our phone number there as well, WVWFoundation.com. Thank you for your tax-deductible support that keeps WVW-TV and WVW Radio going. And again, you'll also find a lot of our resources in our bookstore at WVWTV.com/store. You need a lot of those resources, and you're helping us at the same time. WVWTV.com/store. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll post this show later this week at WVWTV.com for you to share with others, WVWTV.com. And I'll be back on radio tomorrow and on TV right here at 1 o'clock Central. Back tomorrow night with Mike Lindell at 6 p.m. Central for Lindell Report, and then my show 7 to 9. Later this week, I'll have with me Robert F. Kennedy Jr. That's going to be a very interesting interview. His new book on the truth about Fauci and the COVID vaccine. Robert Kennedy Jr. will be my guest later this week. And coming up on the 11th this week, I'm interviewing four former FBI agents, high-ranking FBI agents. One of them worked up on the seventh floor, at least one of them, and used to brief the FBI director, Louis Freeh, daily. He was involved in the search warrant and arresting of the Unabomber and many other high-profile cases. And these four FBI agents have come to me and said, we would like to come together as a group. Two of them I know, two I've not yet met. I look forward to meeting them. But they said, we would like to come together collectively to warn the nation how the Marxists are trying to take over our country. They are taking over the Department of Justice, and now a Marxist-controlled Justice Department is taking over the FBI. And it's four FBI, former FBI agents who loved the Bureau. They're very upset what's happened to the Bureau. And they're very upset at what's happening to America. And they believe that their oath had no expiration date. And so they've asked if they could come here and we would film a town hall meeting with them. And in fact, we are going to film 4 one-hour town halls. And they'll be produced this week live on Thursday night, the 11th of November. So if you would like to attend, if you live in the Mid-South area and you would like to attend, you can do that. The tickets are $1, and then there's a $1.70 processing fee by the Eventbrite. But if you would like to attend, we would urge you to do that. You can go to a website to get your tickets. What is that? It's wvwtvfilming.eventbrite.com, I think. Right, Logan? Yeah. wvwtvfilming.eventbrite, and Bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E. wvwtvfilming.eventbrite.com. Spread the word, won't you? Email all your friends living within a 3, 4, 5 hour radius of Memphis, Tennessee. Invite them to be with us for these 4 one-hour town hall meetings this coming Thursday night, November 11th. The filming will start at 1 p.m. Central. The doors will open around 11:30, and again, filming starts at 1. Each town hall meeting will be 1 hour, and then a 15-minute break, and then another hour and a 15-minute break. So we'll film from 1 until 6 p.m. It's going to be historic. Four FBI agents with incredible resumes warning America about the revolution taking place and how the FBI is being politicized and corrupted to help carry out this revolution. You will want to be a part of this studio audience. If you cannot make it, then at least help us get out the word and fill up this auditorium with a live, enthusiastic audience. So alert all your family and friends living within a 4 to 5 hour radius of Memphis, Tennessee, to go to the website wvwtvfilming.eventbrite.com. B-R-I-T-E is how you spell bright, www.tvfilming.eventbrite.com. Thank you so much for watching. Till tomorrow, when we get back here at 1 o'clock, stay safe. I'm Brennan House. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.